Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer. It feels good to be back. It's our first day back since I think we recorded on Thursday last week. So first day back since Thursday, doing the damn thing to start off week 8 of the fantasy baseball season. There was some very good baseball being played. Not Sunday night baseball. God, that game fucking sucked. I watched like the whole thing. I mean, pitching duel is cool, but a pitching duel where Verlander strikes out 5 in 8 innings is kind of boring. So, but I mean, we got some good baseball lined up this week, which is what we're here to talk about. As always, I am here with my man, Ryan Gilbert. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing good. Once again, feels like too long since we last podcasted here. But yeah, can't believe it's already week 8 of fantasy baseball. We're getting into one third of the way into the fantasy baseball season. We got playoffs in week 23, 24. So yeah, by now you're really getting your roster set and you're figuring out where you stand and what you need to do to get into playoff contention if you have to.
Yeah. And this is the part of the year where for me, like, guys really solidify themselves. I mean, not really necessarily for like the entire year, but like if they're struggling at this point in the year right now, it's a legitimate struggle. It's not an unlucky stretch. It's not they're just getting used to their new team. It's not, maybe they're just trying to get used to the new, like, ballpark or any of that. This is like, if they're still struggling, it's legitimate struggles. And at this point, if they're still hitting really well, it's time to take notice and question, like, is this actually for real? Like, somebody like, we'll talk about in a little bit, but somebody like Ezekiel Duran, is this for real? He's done this all year. Corey Seager's back. He is now still starting every day. He's not starting today as we record this because they're giving him a day off. But Corey Seager came back and they turned him into like a super utility that's going to play all over and get every day at bats because he's tearing the cover off the ball. Something like that is worth taking notes on whether or not that's real. And I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing players like him, players like Christopher Morel, who's coming up now. He's hit a few more home runs over the weekend. These players that are coming up and showing they're for real. I mean, maybe it is only a hot stretch, but it's been 7 weeks of the baseball season now, almost 2 months. So yeah, we're going to be 2 months next week. So this is, you know, going into June, you've baseball teams figure out, you know, what they need to do before head of the trade deadline. That's the same thing that fantasy baseball managers should be doing as well. Somebody that I picked up in my main 12 team league that I was surprised was dropped. So I was happy. I put in the waiver claim right before the day he was available. Andre Jimenez, second base shortstop eligible for the Cleveland Guardians. He was an 8th round pick, top 100 pick, and if someone dropped him, I was like, you know, let's pick him up. Second base shortstop, gave him a chance. I'm not sure if you have any take on Andre Jimenez. He has had a pretty horrific start to this season, only hitting .226. His Baseball Savant page is pretty blue up there besides his speed. What do you think about Jimenez as a young guy that's struggling?
I think the struggles are real at the plate. I think he overperformed how good he really is last year. He had 28 doubles, 17 home runs, which is a pretty good year for a second baseman, especially with how thin the position is.
He finished 6th in MVP voting,
which is nuts.
That's crazy.
Like, Andrés Jiménez should not finish 6th in MVP voting. But yeah, I think he's a weird one because I just talked about how this is who players are. So like, yeah, I think this might be leaning more towards the player that he is, but I also don't think he's this bad. So I think there is some upside to him moving forward from here. I don't think his upside is what it was last year, but Jimenez is not going to be a guy that hits like 4 home runs or 5 home runs on the year while batting .220. He's probably going to bat .270. He'll hit 11 or 12 home runs and you'll be happy you had him. He's still stealing bases at a decent clip. He's got 7 on the year, so he's giving you some upside there. But yeah, I think this is not the Jimenez you're going to get for the full year, but this is a version of him that is a real version of him. Last year, I think, kind of like when we were doing our catcher rankings before the season, and I had knocked JT Realmuto down a few pegs because I thought last year was literally as good as it gets for JT Realmuto. There's no, that was the ceiling of the ceiling. There was no way for him to progress beyond that. I think last year for Andrés Giménez was the same thing. That was the ceiling of the ceiling. That was the best you'll ever get. So expectations need to be tempered, but there is some upside.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he hit almost 300 last year after hitting 218 the year before in 68 games. So yeah, Giménez is someone that maybe we'll bounce back. Someone that we have been big on as a podcast. I am going to really cut bait on him. I changed my team name. My team name was Lars's Newt Bar. We're getting ready to drop Lars Newt Bar. I have rebranded to Yoshida's Island because he's been good for me. But Lars Newt Bar, is he somebody you're looking to hold on to, or is this just something where 0 for 4 is past 11, 1 for 5 before that, 2 0 for 4s before that. He's not hitting well this, on this season, hitting 258. I think he still has something in his swing there, or might he just be what he is right now?
I think it's just a little slump. I still love me some Lars, and Lars I trust, at least.
It's these players are who they are, unless they're our favorite players, and then they have a chance.
No, see, I give Newt Bar a little bit of benefit of the doubt because he started the year on the injured list, so he didn't get the same start everybody else got, and he played in the WBC, which all the WBC guys tend to be struggling a bit this year, except for Acuña, but Acuña didn't really show out in the WBC either.
Rosarena's doing decently, I think. I mean, the Rays are doing awesome, but yeah, Trey Turner, Lars Newt Bar, Yoshida had his struggles there at the beginning, so yeah, maybe there is something to that.
Yeah, he's making hard contact still. Average exit velocity is 89 miles an hour, so it's above league average. He's walking at a crazy rate, 17% walk rate and a 19% K rate. So I love a guy with under 20% K rate. So maybe I like him more in points leagues, I guess would be a better way to put it. I can see why in a categories league you might be frustrated because he's not giving you the production that you're looking for. But in a points league, there's still a lot of upside there. High walk rate, lower strikeout rate. He does have some power and some speed. He does have 20 home run power if he can not go 0 for 4 all the time. But I'm holding out hope on Lars Newt Bar just because I like a lot of the changes he made. And he doesn't change a lot of pitches or chase a lot of pitches. His chase rate's in the 97th percentile. And his whiff rate's in the 80th percentile. So there's a lot of upside there.
His baseball savant page is mostly red. His lowest thing is barrel rate, 46th percentile. But expected slugging, 50th percentile. Expected WOBA is in the top quarter, 76th percentile. So yeah, he has the tools. He just has to, you know, put it together here. And hopefully the Cardinals will help him figure that out.
And I think starting today, they're playing in Cincy. So
He's
Great American Ballpark.
He's at the lineup tonight, though.
Tonight. But I mean, if you're listening to this and it's Tuesday, Lars Newt Bar probably starting. If you're the betting type, maybe Lars Newt Bar anytime home run. He feels like a plus 500 kind of guy. So.
Dinger Tuesday coming up.
Hell yeah. Doesn't the MLB gambling podcast do those on Mondays, or was it Tuesdays?
Do they do? Oh, they used to do something like that.
Yeah. Moonshot Mondays. That's what they did. Moonshot Mondays. So I'm still in on Lars. I like Lars.
Yeah, we'll see if he ends up having any sort of boost here moving forward. Speaking of boost, have you signed up for Edge Boost yet? If not, you're missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account, and Edge Boost will match the deposit, so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances. You can up to $2,500 you can add to your bankroll. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so I want to just kind of jump right into some more waiver wire stuff for this week because it is our first episode of the week, and that is what we tend to do early on in the week. And my article's out there now on Fantasy Pros for Week 8 waiver wire guys to take a look at, and I'm just going to say right now, probably my favorite one for this week. There's two from the same team. First would be Jorge Soler for Miami. Oddly underowned. I know it can be difficult when to wrap your head around the fact that some of these guys might actually be owned under 50% of leagues, but it happens. Jorge Soler is one of those guys. They're heading for a 4-game series in Colorado, and we all know that Coors Field makes the ball jump. And if there's anybody that has light tower power on the Miami roster, it is Jorge Soler. He's got almost a 20% barrel rate. His expected slugging is 561, which is in the 93rd percentile. 114.8 mile per hour average or max exit velocity. So he's the kind of guy that could go there and hit a couple of 475-foot dingers. Do you have any shares of Soler this year, Ryan?
I did. I picked him, looking at my player history. I picked him up for a week, April 19th to April 26th, and I dropped him. He was picked up on May 13th by someone else, and he's been on fire since then. 12 home runs, only hitting 247, but like as we talked about before the season, and should mention more, like that's not a bad average, especially for a power hitter like Soler. Obviously, you said going to Coors Field is going to be fantastic. 4-game series there, I could see him easily hitting two bombs, if not more. He's been hitting second in the order for them, fourth, hitting the top of the order. So, yeah, Soler is somebody only rostered in 47% of Yahoo League. So he is available in most leagues out there. And if he is available, I would definitely go pick him up.
Yeah, 15% of ESPN leagues too, which seems like criminally
ESPN
low.
ESPN is just fake. ESPN just like, yeah. They cook the books there.
They seriously do. I mean, Jorge or Soler yesterday went 4-for-5 with a home run and 3 RBIs as well. So he's heating up heading into that series in Colorado. And his teammate, who I also love this week, Brian De La Cruz. He's somebody that was on my breakout players for this year. He was on my must-have players for this season list. Very quietly. I'll say quiet because he's 24% rostered on Yahoo. 6% is all on ESPN. But he is very quietly putting together a year where he is hitting just shy of 300 again. Ooh, the power's not there that we hoped would be there. He's only got 5 home runs so far this year, but he showed last September, October that he does have the power when he hit like 389 with 6 home runs. This year right now he's hitting 284 with 5 home runs, 18 RBIs, and he stole a couple bases. He has that same crazy power, just a step down from Soler's crazy power, but he does have crazy power that's going to play very, very well in Colorado. So even if you just want him for a week, even though I think he's rosterable just from here on out, I think he's got a lot of upside there. In Miami, there's been a lot of injuries on that team lately, which are helping him get more everyday at bats, which helps as well. He's somebody that I think you should be targeting and starting for sure this week.
Yeah, he was someone I was looking to pick up for Nupar. Yeah, and with those 4 games at Coors Field, he's been hitting the ball. He had a hit streak there going on until he went 0-for-4 on Sunday. So, yeah, he's hitting 4th, 5th in that lineup for the Marlins. Coors Field, they have guys that can get on base. They have the power with Soler and De La Cruz. I mean, last year we saw he played 115 games, only had 13 home runs, but he is on pace for closer to 20 this year with closer to 80 RBIs while hitting 284. So, yeah, I think he's someone you can pick up here. And then, you know, if you want to ride that hot streak, ride him while you can.
Yeah, and we got one waiver wire related question here in the chat real quick. Chad wants to know if Gavin Stone flames out tonight for the Dodgers, should he be thinking to fab Sheen on the chance the Dodgers get aggressive to replace Stone for a Saturday start? I think so, because Gavin Stone wasn't that good the first time he came up, and if he's not that good today, the Dodgers might be in a little bit of a panic mode because they are dealing with a bunch of injuries. And Bobby Miller, who knows? Bobby Miller was supposed to be real good, but he's something else, so... I think it could be worth it because I think Stone has a very short leash for today's start.
Yeah, if it's a league where pitchers like that go pretty quickly and you want to get ahead of the curve, it's probably a good aggressive move. But he hasn't pitched past Double A. He's only been in the minors for 2 years, so he is still relatively fresh. But yeah, the Dodgers have been pretty aggressive there, so it's not necessarily a bad move if you want to maybe get ahead of things there.
Speaking of getting ahead of things, if you are in the dire need of saves like I seem to be in all of my freaking roto leagues, Miguel Castro, there we go, for the Arizona Cardinals. Tell me I didn't just start
Arizona
to say
Cardinals.
That. For the Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback. No, Miguel
Castro. Kyler Murray's closing?
Fucking closer for the Arizona Diamondbacks now. If I could spit that out. He's got four saves now, I believe. Andrew Chafin, don't quite know what's going on with him, but it seems like Castro has taken over the lead for that closer role. Arizona is a pretty decent team, so they should be in line for a good chunk of save opportunities out there. I snatched him up in TGFBI yesterday. I think I got him for a $25 fab bid, which is wild. I should have got way outbid for that. But I got him. I think the next closest bid was like $11. So if you are in the need of saves, he is somebody to keep an eye on, or just go add right now, because it seems like he has that closer job locked down, at least for the moment.
Yeah, he has that job locked down. ERA 2.61, whip 0.97, 19 strikeouts and 20 and two thirds. Back-to-back save opportunities against Oakland and Pittsburgh there. Chafin, I mean, is more of just a journeyman lefty anyway, so I can't imagine the Diamondbacks can't exactly want to use him as a closer there. So, yeah, Castro has good numbers, has strikeout stuff, hasn't allowed a run in quite some time here. So, yeah, I'd go pick him up. He's rostered in only 26% of Yahoo League. So, 5x5 league, if you're looking for saves, I think Castro is a good source of them. You can probably find him pretty cheap, too.
And he does what I love, very slider heavy. That's his main pitch, his go-to pitch. And it's got a 35% whiff rate, which is awesome. And his average spin rate's almost 2,800 RPMs, which is crazy. That's got to be top 10 in the league for a slider. So excellent out pitch, which you look for in a closer, three-pitch guy, slider, sinker, changeup. And, yeah, if you're looking for saves, that might be the premier guy on the waiver wire right now for saves. Yeah, Anthony, the thing Warwick, is, yes, you should stash Ellie De La Cruz.
Ellie De La Cruz is very stashable, yes. But, Miguel Castro, worth noting with him, he's 28. He has been a bit of a journeyman, played with Baltimore, the Mets, Rockies, Yankees, and now and Toronto, now the Diamondbacks. This is, what, his sixth team here. So unless maybe that slider's a new pitch or he's found something with that where he can become a dominant closer. But don't go too hard there on Castro. Speaking of closers, it looks like Craig Kimbrel should be the Phillies closer right now. I think he needs one more for 400 in his career, which Kenley Jansen just got. Soto is, Soto and Dominguez and whatnot might get some chances in there. And I think Alvarado isn't out too long term. Also, the Yankees, they've had Wandy Peralta in there, Michael King. So I think Peralta could be worth a look. He has better ratio so far this season compared to King. But either way, yeah, saves, especially in today's game, they're out there. They're out there to be found. So you just gotta find them.
Yes. And finding, it sounds like a transition into an ad, but now finding gems on the waiver wire can be difficult. A lot of guys, I mean, they're so unowned that you don't notice them or whatever. They're not on your radar, but it also depends on league type too. Like some of these guys in dynasty leagues are very owned, whereas in a redraft league, they're not. One of those guys that would be like not on a ton of redraft league radars that I'm keeping an eye on is Mark Vientos for the Mets. Mm-hmm. He hit a home run in his debut, but he has kind of struggled overall, but he has legitimate power. So the power is there. And I tweeted out the other day that after his first two games, he had, God, it was like, I can pull it up right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 batted ball events over 102 miles an hour in his first two games. And another one at 99 miles an hour. He wasn't so lucky yesterday. Field out, force out, strike out. So he struggled a little, but he's one of those Mets power hitting prospects that got the call. And it looks like they're going to really do a good job of trying to fit him into that lineup with Beatty and Alvarez. So maybe he has a Beatty-like start to his Mets career where he's kind of slow rolled up and then he really kicks it in and the power and the hitting ability shows up. Beatty had an awesome single last night where he took an inside fastball from Bieber and just kind of hit it out there to left center, which was a cool one to watch. And I'm thinking Vientos is going to be more of a 240 hitter, but could hit 30 home runs than somebody like a Beatty who could hit closer to 300. But I mean, in a deep league where you are in need of power, he's somebody that is still fairly available in a lot of leagues. I think under 30% owned in every league right now, for the most part, again, outside of like dynasty leagues or 15 team leagues. He's somebody to keep an eye on moving forward because he's making crazy contact with the ball. It's just a matter of getting it up in the air.
Yeah, and Vientos, I am kind of worried about a playing time. Like Beatty has, you know, he's a left-handed bat. He's going to play against most starters. He can play at third base. He's going to mix in left field. Alvarez obviously can go behind the plate until Navarez comes back. But Vientos is kind of just splitting that DH spot with Vogelbach, and I think Vogelbach's going to bat against righties, going to start against righties until either Vogelbach just continues to stink it up or Vientos shows that he can hit right-handed pitching. So Vientos isn't necessarily someone I'm going out to snag. I did pick him up and drop him 4 days later when he got called up because he's not playing every day, so it's not worth it. But yeah, Vientos, I think for the long haul, it is worth mentioning. They play the Cubs at Wrigley Field and then at Colorado for this weekend. So if you're looking for some late week power, look for some Mets there possibly. Another young guy that is coming up off of the IL for the Twins is Royce Lewis. I believe he just had a rehab stint. He went 3-for-4 in his latest minor league rehab game with AAA, hit a home run. He's now 8-for-18 with 3 home runs and 3 stolen bases in 5 games. He was pretty good last year in 12 games for the Twins, hitting 2 home runs, batting 300. He is already rostered in 41% of Yahoo leagues because he is IL eligible, so most people are probably just stashing him. But is Royce Lewis someone you're kind of looking at? He's eligible to come off the IL before the end of the month.
He is one that I probably get asked about more than anybody else lately. For me, it's a no. I can understand if in a deep league you want to take a flyer on him because you want somebody that can play shortstop and could get a decent amount of at-bats. I just don't see the fantasy production there. He feels like one of those players that's a good baseball player, but it doesn't transition to good fantasy baseball, like a Andrelton Simmons type of player. Like he's going to look good. He's fun to watch play, but he's going to hit 10 home runs and steal 12 bases on the year while hitting 250. And then you're going to question why you had him the whole time. And the name value is there. The top prospect value is there. Everybody's going to want to kind of jump on the next post-hype sleeper train, which Royce Lewis would be. I don't think the fantasy value is there. I think you're better off letting somebody else take a gamble with him. And hey, if they pick him up and he comes out and tears the cover off the ball, good for them. But there's a lot more cons to owning him than there is pros.
Yeah, and I guess he'll play third base instead of Kyle Farmer when he comes back to the majors, or second base instead of Julian. But Julian's another prospect they have there that they like. They're not going to move Correa off shortstop, I can't imagine. So yeah, Lewis, as Insano is saying in the chat here, has been hyped for years. He's been waiting for him to produce for years now. And yeah, he just might be one of these shortstops that, you know, is a solid player to build your team around it as a baseball team, but not as a fantasy baseball team, especially this year when shortstop is kind of such a deep position there. So yeah, Lewis is just another one of those, not lottery ticket types, because he does have more than that, but you know, maybe someone not to get too concerned about if you don't have any shares of him. All right, and we are brought to you by Shady Rays, which is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, the Total Source will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. For our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well, with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. Go to shadyrays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. And remember, May is almost over. So make sure to take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, speaking of shortstops, a shortstop that had a pretty good year a few years ago is now coming back up and killing the ball. Paul DeJong for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is he someone you're looking to add if you haven't already?
Absolutely. He's another guy that I like had a nice little fab win of yesterday. I felt so happy that I added him in TGFBI, but then I also felt so dumb because I put like a $40 fab bid on him because I was like, oh man, like I know this is probably a little high, but I want to make sure I get him, and nobody else bid on him. So I could have won him for a damn dollar, but it's okay. Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's been around for a minute, but he's only 29. So somehow he's like old and not old at the same time. He's always been a bit of a power guy. He had 19 home runs in 2021 in just 113 games. Pretty damn good. 30 home runs back in 2019 when everybody was hitting 30 home runs. But now in just 23 games, he's got 7 home runs so far. And he's hitting .282 with a .364 on base percentage and a .954 OPS. He's absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. And I think he's worth a look in a lot of places because the Cardinals were a very underproducing team and they needed kind of a jump start to their lineup, which is weird to say in a lineup that has like Paul Goldschmidt,
Co-MVP candidates. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's just nuts. But I mean, a lot of DeJong's success is coming from the fastball. He's hitting .441 off the fastball with 5 of his home runs, hitting under .170 against breaking and off-speed pitches. So there's some worry there. But I mean, with off speed pitches, he's only whiffing 15% of the time off of them.
They got to come to you too. They can't just throw off speed. They got to come to him with some fastballs.
And so there's some upside there. Do I think he's going to all of a sudden be a 30 home run guy again? Probably not. But he's got 20 plus home run power, which we love around here. So yeah, if DeJong's available, ride the hot streak, especially they're going to Colorado. So DeJong on this power hitting hot streak right now, playing at Coors Field. It's probably going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I hope so because I could use those stats in my lineup.
Well, no, they're at Cincy.
Cincinnati, Miami. Yeah, Cincinnati.
Same thing. Miami's in Colorado. We're talking about them, but yeah, they're in Cincy for a few, and then Cleveland. So yeah, DeJong has been killing the ball, and he should be able to keep it up in Cincinnati.
All right, before we go to 2-star pitchers, you want to do the ad? Oh wait, we did the ad, didn't we?
I just did the ads.
God. Okay, so we can transition the waiver wire into 2-star pitching because I do have a 2-star pitcher for this week that I think should be picked up at least for this week. Okay. And it is Michael Lorenzen of the Detroit Tigers, under 30% owned in the majority of leagues, barely owned at all in ESPN leagues. Seems like a weird one to add because...
Start today or Tuesday? You start Monday or Tuesday?
I think he starts today, but I like his start today and Saturday as well.
Hopefully the listeners are in the live then so they can think
be in the live or pick him up for the end of the week as well. Cause I mean, in his last 20 innings, he's given up 2 earned runs, only struck out 11, but he's got an ERA under 1. His whip is really low as well. And in 4 of his last 5 games, he's given up 1 run or less. He's not doing it any kind of fancy way. He's just very consistent. He throws 7 different pitches, which I can't remember the last time I saw a pitcher that threw 7 different pitches.
Yeah.
And I think all of his pitches have over a 20% whiff rate, or 6 of his 7 have over a 20% whiff rate. So he's not killing you with necessarily one particular pitch. He's just consistent with all of them, and it is turning into serviceable streaming option. Like, I mean, I would even put him maybe right now with the run that he's on, maybe in like that tier just above a streaming option. Good enough to roster, but you just keep him on your bench until he does have those 2-star weeks or he has a favorable matchup. then you roll him out there. Yeah, he's getting it done. Detroit is really bad, but they've also been like good enough at times to give run support. So Michael Lorenzen is somebody that I think is worth, I mean, he's worth an ad this week, even if you're listening to this and he's only starting once after you hear this. But if you're in the live, he's worth a pickup for today as well.
Yeah, there's not a lot of two-star pitchers starting on Tuesday because there's a lot of off days, it looks like, on Thursday. I'm trying to find somebody here that's going to be under rostered. Rich Hill starts Tuesday, but they have an off day. Rich Hill has been great. We know how much I love Dick Mountain there, but he's going to start. His next start's going to be Monday. So, you know, maybe pick him up for this start and then hold him for two starts next week. Brian Bellow has been decent for the Red Sox. Three straight wins in his starts, but they also have an off day, so he's probably not starting twice. It's tough this week to find two-star pitchers. Maybe Marco Gonzalez starting tomorrow against Oakland and then Sunday against Pittsburgh. That might be worth. I know Gonzalez isn't the best. He got blown up by the Red Sox last time out, but before that, back-to-back quality starts, including against Houston. So, I mean, Mariners should be huge favorites against Oakland and then probably decent favorites at home against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, I don't hate that one, actually. As much as I shit on Marco last time we talked about him, I don't hate him as a two-start this week just because those matchups are probably as good as it gets for a two-start week. Like, that's exactly what you look for. But somebody like, man, maybe like a Drew Smyly. He pitches Tuesday against the Mets and then Sunday against Cincinnati at home. I don't hate that. Okay. Drew Smiley's been oddly good this year.
He should be rostered in most leagues, but is he available? He's rostered in 72% of Yahoo leagues. I'm not sure.
45% of ESPN. So my ESPN homies, get on ESPN. It. He's worth it. And somebody like, let me check the roster percent. No, not that person. Dane Dunning is a weird one too, but he starts today. He didn't start Tuesday. Ashcraft.
Taj Bradley's good. He's rostered in more than 50% of. He's got two tough matchups though, both at home, Toronto and the Dodgers. So maybe he's only gone five innings or five and a third in his four starts.
True. And then, I mean, one that's kind of been on everybody's radar lately. Again, he's overowned on ESPN to count or on Yahoo to count, but only 32% on ESPN would be Yuri Perez. He's had an excellent start to the year. And Sandra said, what about Fantrax leagues? From what I've gathered from doing all my fucking research for these damn articles, Fantrax ownership is almost spot on with Yahoo ownership for all players. Like 99% of the people you check, they're like within 1 or 2% of each other. So it's about the same. ESPN is just a wild card.
Yeah, we got a revenge Mackenzie Gore start on Tuesday at home against the Padres, and then second in the week in Kansas City. So that's a pretty good two-star pitcher there if he's available in your league. He is 52% rostered in Yahoo.
I like that one a lot as well, actually. But then after that, I mean, you got Austin Gomber.
Bobby Miller. What do you think about Bobby Miller? He's probably only one star because they have an off day, but starting Tuesday in Atlanta, I see someone you're picking up.
Probably not, just because he hasn't shown me the upside that I really hoped he was going to. He's a top prospect. He's got a lot going for him. He's got a good fastball, got a good slider, got a good curveball, which you like to see, 3+ pitches. But, I mean, at AAA this year, his strikeouts per nine dropped from 11.8 last year to 7.5 this year, and his walks jumped up almost to 4 per nine. So I'm curious kind of what's going on there. Now, I might be a little unlucky, but I mean, his xFIP is 5.31 and his ERA is 5.65. So we've seen guys come up struggled.
It's only 14 innings. It is four starts. Yeah. It's only it's a small sample size. He had back-to-back bad starts. His most recent start, 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. So hopefully we get more of that. I mean, he was hyped up pretty good, so I'm surprised he's only rostered in a quarter of Yahoo leagues. I mean, I'd pick him up if he was available in my league.
Yeah, he's annoying as hell to go against in MLB The Show last year.
Yeah.
Fucking card was nuts. That thing was expensive forever, too. But, I mean, there are guys that have had less than stellar numbers at the AAA level. this year that have already produced okay at the major league level. Bryce Miller would be somebody like would be a good comp that way. He wasn't that great in the minors this year and then came up and had like literally had the greatest start in MLB history, like whip wise and everything. And then Brandon Williamson for Cincinnati, he struggled mightily. Another former Mariner prospect, he struggled mightily for Cincinnati in the minors. He had a, what is that, a 6.62 ERA and a almost six walks per nine, but then came up and threw 5 2/3 innings with a 1.59 ERA in his start. And I think he starts again today as well. So, yeah, I mean, Bobby Miller has the pedigree, the prospect pedigree to be good. So he can be. I'm just curious, especially going against, you say it was Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's not the most favorable matchup out the gate, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just a matter of all these prospects coming up. Everyone's like, oh, let me go get them. FOMO. And then Bobby Miller is someone who has been hyped up a while, and people are just looking at that 5.65 ERA in four starts and getting scared away.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all the two-star pitchers I want to recommend, to be completely honest. Like, I'm not one of the people that wants to just force feed every single player down your throat and try and tell you why they're good. I would rather we just give you guys the ones that we really are down to back and can put our stamp of approval, the Baseball Money is Fake stamp of approval on.
Quick waiver wire guy, quick question, initial fire reaction, away. Joey Gallo.
Add.
Okay.
I take back everything I said at the beginning of the year.
28% rostered in the Yahoo leagues. He's two home runs in the past week, four home runs in the past 10 days. So, yeah, he's been hitting the ball.
He's walking at a crazy high rate, even though he's striking out at almost 40%. He's hitting the cover off the ball, and he's in the middle of one of his hot streaks. And for me, Gallo is always an add in the middle of one of his hot streaks and always a drop in the middle of his cold streaks, because his cold streaks can end up being like 0 for 45. But his hot streaks, he can hit 10 home runs in eight games.
He could have a three home run game, yeah.
And just, yeah, so yeah. Middle of a hot streak right now. Absolutely add Joey Gallo, especially I think his on-base percentage is like 360 right now. So he's playing like good in category leagues also, especially on-base percentage leagues. Big time add. Same with Alex Kirilloff. I like Alex Kirilloff too, so yeah, add him as well.
The Twins are at home where Gallo is hitting 235 with a 997 OPS opposed to 190 with 826 on the road. So maybe something there with the batter's eye, knowing stuff there. So yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Fake Baseball, the coolest at on Twitter. Check us out on YouTube at Fake Baseball Money. Same with Twitch, Fake Baseball Money. We are live over on both of those platforms every time we record. Check us out in the Discord, sg.pn/Discord. That baseball channel in that Discord is going wild, and I love it. We're catching up to the hockey Discord channel.
No, you're not.
We'll never be there, but I'd say we're the second most active channel in the Discord.
You guys stole right catfish now. From us. I'll never.
Come on, catfish. Damn right we did.
Come back to the dark side.
Yeah, go check us out. We're always down to talk, always down to chat. If you have any fantasy-related questions, we are always, always, always here to answer them. I get DMs all the time from fantasy questions, and I answer every one of them. You can follow me on Twitter at Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.